right, we at the barbershop. Stay tuned.
What's going on, guys? What's up? What's up, everybody? Thanks for popping in. This is a really good group of folks I have on stage, so I am excited to talk playing. For everyone who's, you know, just listening to my voice or you know, seeing me on here on Green Room, my name is Maxwell Millington. I go by Max Wheezy. I'm joined this evening, afternoon, by S, who is a Green Room contributor as well, Matthew Sponauer, Sean Coleman, Ant Wright, Brian and Rob are up here as well. I'm going to bring Larry up on stage as well. We're going to talk about some NBA playing. We'll let folks probably towards the end come up on stage and ask questions or whatever. You can always throw your questions in the chat as well. We do have a big group here on stage, so I want to get everybody's thoughts and points in. Really, really excited about this group and to talk playing. We'll start on the West, and then we'll jump over to the East. I'll try to, if folks, you know, this is pretty very much so like a normal room as much as it is a show. So I don't want you guys to feel like you guys can't speak up whenever. You guys all are Green Room veterans, so you guys kind of know what to do if you're on stage. But I do want to jump right in to talk like Pelican Spurs. I don't think like this is necessarily the play-in matchup that we necessarily thought we were going to get. If you would have said a month ago, we probably figured this is probably like Lakers, you know, I don't know, Clippers. Spurs Pelicans is definitely not, the play-in like game that we were probably all expecting up maybe until like 2 weeks ago, but it is what it is. We're here. These teams have definitely overachieved, done well with the talent that they have. So I guess my question is like, what are you guys like kind of expecting in this game? And also like, not only just like, I don't want to just talk about this game, but like sort of like a big picture thing, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing for the Spurs to necessarily lose and, you know, hopefully maybe improve their lottery chances, or even like the Pelicans to lose with everything that's going on with Zion. Like, I think, you know, it would be nice for, obviously one of these teams are going to win and move on, but like, I think both of these teams could probably use, you know, better lottery odds. So I don't know. What are you guys looking for in this game?
Well, a couple of things that come into mind are, so for instance, the Pelicans, their lottery odds are already set, correct? Because they have the Lakers pick versus their own pick. Plus also you've got the Pelicans, who obviously have made more moves to win now than the Spurs have. So I think that the Pelicans are the better team, especially if they get Brandon Ingram back. They have every reason. They're more motivated to win now after the season that they've had to get into the playoffs and make whatever kind of noise that they possibly can in trying for that eighth spot against the loser of the Clippers and the T-Wolves. But I just think that I think it makes more sense based off the moves that they made, based off the, you know, push that they have to compete now, based off the fact that they don't control their own picks odds. I think across the board, and plus they're just a better team, I just think the Pelicans are the better team in this situation. It's going to be at home. They have every reason to win this. And the Spurs, you know, I think, you know, have more reason to want to try to better their lottery odds. So I'm going to go Pelicans for a variety of reasons.
I'm also going to go Pelicans here, but I actually think it'll be closer than a lot of people say. I know a lot of people are siding with the Pelicans and pretty much a clean sweep, but I do think the Spurs can do a lot of things to bother what the Pelicans do, especially on defense. When you think about DeJounte Murray, when you think about Jakob Poeltl, like they have the defensive tools to be able to throw out against a Pelicans team that is very, very offensively versatile. The one question, I guess, between these two guys is, at the end of the day, can a CJ McCollum, which he's shown it time and time again, just like take over and get this done? I really do think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be one of those where, you know, the Pelicans win by 10 or 15 or whatever. I think it'll be a battle throughout. I do still pick the Pelicans in this to win, but I got to give love to the Spurs because they've just been like, they had no aspirations to really be in the play-in tournament, but with the Lakers crashing and burning, they were just like, sure, why not? We'll take this spot. And they've made the most out of it. I agree with you, Max, by the way. Like, both these teams probably serve better to lose and end up going into the lottery. But with the Pelicans case, it actually might serve you better to try and get into the playoffs because you already know you have these multiple picks kind of locked and loaded for next year and beyond. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have their pick. Their pick is with Portland this year. So if they lose, all they do is help Portland. And if I'm not mistaken, based off of the who's set up at 1 through 7, well, shit, 1 through 8. The Spurs right now have the 9th best odds at getting the number one overall pick. Even if they lose, I don't see how they move up, given that every team that is ahead of them is already out of the picture. I'm with S. I think it's closer than people think it's going to be, but the Pelicans win this one.
Both these teams stink. Let's talk about some teams that can actually win some basketball games.
I'm going to disagree with that pretty quickly. I think that the Pelicans are actually, with Brandon Ingram, I think that they can surprise some people. I know the defense is not where it needs to be, but I do think that if they, even against the Suns, I do think that they could put together enough offense to where they can win one of those games. I think they could surprise some people against the Suns if they make it that far.
I wouldn't go that far, but I love your confidence.
Larry brought up a good point with like the Pelicans pick with Portland as well. I was curious, and I kind of forgot. I don't know if you remember, Matthew, like what slot the New Orleans has to fall in for the Hornets to get that pick. I don't even know if that exists anymore.
It's to the point where if they do make the playoffs, they just lose their first-round pick entirely. With the sign-and-trade with Devontae Graham, the way that pick works is that either the Pelicans make the playoffs this year and the Hornets get their first-round draft pick, or they don't and it converts into 2 seconds, so it wouldn't even be a first-round draft pick at all. So there's pretty big stakes for them making it versus missing it. It's not just like it getting pushed back a year. It changes entirely what the trade was for.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. I think it'll be interesting. I think either of these teams, like, realistically, I lean towards Sean, where, like, especially with Brandon Ingram, New Orleans is, very frisky team, very well coached. I think they could probably surprise, I don't know that they'll be the Clippers if the Clippers, fall back, but like, could they surprise the Timberwolves? Maybe, but I think, obviously like both of these teams, at least in my opinion, this will be an interesting game, but I don't think either of these teams get out of the play-in, in my honest opinion. So let's talk about like Clippers, Timberwolves. I think this is fascinating. Does anyone think Kawhi would be back for the play-in round? Or when is their game? Their game's tomorrow, so
yeah, probably not tomorrow.
But okay, seeing him maybe if they win this game and move on, maybe is a possibility. Not obviously not tomorrow. He wouldn't come back, but yeah, Clippers at Minnesota. Minnesota, obviously. Has improved a lot. They extended Chris Finch. I think that was well deserved. Go ahead. Sorry, anybody can jump in and give their thoughts about this matchup.
A lot of people are saying the Clippers, and I think that's a popular pick. I really do. But I think the Timberwolves, if they catch fire for one game, which we've seen them do, like if an Ant is, there's some games where Ant is kind of non-existent, and then there's some games where Ant is just, superstar level type guy that you see potentially winning an MVP at some point in his time. I do think the X factor in this game will be Ant Edwards, like what kind of offense he's going to contribute. But at the same time, like the Clippers are going to make a lot of things physical for Kat. And that's going to be my big question is like, all right, cool. If the Clippers throw a bunch of doubles and send help at Kat, can the Timberwolves offense, which has been really, really good, by the way, like I quote me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure. I think I heard this somewhere, but they were the number one offense from December 25th to now.
They lead the league in points per game. They had 115.9 points per game. The Grizzlies are second at 115.6.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think offensively, absolutely the Timberwolves have all the guns. to be able to keep up. And you know, especially with Paul George back, this is a different Clippers team than what we usually see. But I think, look, in Minnesota, they have their first play-in playoff game since, what, 2018, I believe. I think, legit, the Wolves will end up winning this game, and the Clippers will have to fight against, you know, whoever the Pels or the Spurs are for eight.
It's going to be interesting, right? Because, Ed brings up a great point. You know, can Minnesota catch fire? Well, to his point, they've caught fire better than anybody else. They led the league in points per game this year. But what it comes down to me, is the influence of Paul George and the Clippers taking care of the basketball. A couple of statistical things to look at are Paul George has to be the best offensive player in the game, and the Clippers, who are the worst team in the league when it comes to opponents' offensive rebounding percentage. What it's going to come down to for Minnesota and the Clippers, how close can the Clippers keep the shots together? If they can keep the shot totals within five shots of each other, I think the Clippers' defense and probably Paul George can really help out. I think that that's a way for them to be able to win. But that's why I end up getting, you know, 10 extra shots. I don't see how the Clippers are going to be able to do it. The other big key in this game is that you have arguably the two best bench shooters in the NBA, Malik Beasley and Luke Kennard, coming off the bench. Which one of them has a bigger impact from three? So I think that that's the key to look at it. The Wolves can keep the shot totals close. If Paul George is the best offensive player, I think that really goes to the Clippers' favor. And another X factor is which bench shooter has a bigger overall impact.
If Reggie Jackson outplays Pat Bev, the Clippers will win. Book it.
So this is actually a really funny. I'm looking at the road versus home records and stuff. Clippers weren't great on the road this year, but obviously, like, I didn't do a breakdown of how many of those games were without Paul George, so I'd have to like look into that. But earlier this season, this is back in November. The Clippers played in Minnesota, played each other in Minnesota like twice in the span of 4 days. And the Clippers won both of those games pretty handily. But again, this is back in November. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. You guys kind of pointed out like Paul George being the difference maker, you know, him and a lot of, I mean, the Clippers themselves having like recent playoff experience. I'm interested to see how that will kind of how that will shape itself. I mean, in a one game situation, like maybe it doesn't really matter, but like that's going to be interesting. Obviously, you know, you guys mentioned the discrepancy in sort of like offense and you know, but I think this will actually be like a really fun game.
The Clippers have been the top offense in the league over the past 2 weeks with Paul George backs. And that's a small sample size, but it matters when you consider the addition of Paul George.
And Powell. Don't forget
Norman Powell. Folks need to stop sleeping on Ty Lue. Like, just the fact that he's gotten so much production out of this Clippers team, like with they basically acquired Norman Powell for a cup of coffee. He got hurt, like, for 2 months. He's back now, and they've been without Paul George for however long. Just the fact that he's been able to keep this team competitive, like with kind of Luke Kennard, Reggie Jackson, and spare parts is pretty incredible.
I have a question, Max.
Please refer to him as Maxio.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yo, so do you think that this Clippers Timberwolves game is going to be huge because they know that they got the Grizzlies in the next round if you win this game? I think there is a lot that these dudes are playing for right now.
Yeah, well, I want to let Sean or Rob go. I actually am very interested to hear Sean's perspective on that. Because I would love to see Minnesota and Memphis. So, like, not for, like, not for even like basketball reasons, but I think that'd be a really fun series. Those are both like relatively young teams. Memphis Clippers would be a scary matchup, I think. If you're getting Kawhi back for that, that's going to be scary for the Grizzlies, I think. But like Minnesota Memphis would be a lot of fun. I'd love to see that. But Rob or Sean, y'all can go ahead. I want to hear y'all's thoughts.
Rob, go ahead.
So for Minnesota, I think defensively they have enough bodies to throw at Ja with Pat Bev, Vanderbilt, McDaniels. They'll try to make everyone else create in the half court and shoot, which we'll see. Dylan Brooks is back. But outside of that, like, I'm not too worried about the offense. I don't think Steven Adams will play too much with Cat being the center. I think it'll just come down to like who can close games better. And I think the Grizzlies have proven that. Like, they're going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a 5-game series where the Grizzlies are blowing them out by any means. But I do think when it's crunch time, the Grizzlies pull away and they win in 5. And I think for the Clippers, like, it all depends on Kawhi's health. Because if Kawhi's playing, I think the Clippers could pull it out. But if he's not, I think the Grizzlies win that in 6. Like, yeah, they have Paul George, Norman Powell, but there's no one on that roster that I'm worried about outside of that.
Like, the Kawhi potential, like, speculation. Has there been, like, any scuttlebutt? Is he, like, 40? Is he 75%?
There's no report. There's no report whatsoever. Not even a little bit of a report that he's going to come back.
Yeah, that's what I'm – so it's all – I mean, there was a – was it last week the video came out of him shooting?
Yeah, there was video of him shooting, and then there was multiple – I mean, there was – that's the only thing that I believe that was like came out that was substantial. I don't remember reading. I'm trying to think, because I know folks were talking about it last week, but I can't remember like if there was like anything that came out like officially that were, or I mean, nothing's come out from the team. We know that, like, obviously, like, well, I mean, there's nothing like Woj or anything has said. I think it's just more so like hearsay that he could come back, but like I think that the possibility is definitely there, but I don't think anything's officially been said, which is like 90% of NBA rumors, right? Like, you know, like especially surrounding like stars coming back, especially around this time. But like, honestly, I mean that's a good point, Brian. Like, we don't know.
So as far as the Grizzlies Clippers go, at the end of the day, anything other than Paul George and Kawhi is preferred, right? But if Kawhi's not playing, I want the Clippers all day long. The reason why, Ja Morant, when he was on the court against the Clippers this year, had like a plus minus average of plus 11 versus the Timberwolves this year, a plus minus of like negative 8. Like, Minnesota is much better with throwing Pat Bev, throwing Vanderbilt, different bodies. Minnesota can limit Ja pretty well. Now, Dylan coming back certainly helps out, both giving us another shooter to support Ja, but also someone that could limit D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards on the defensive side. So I would still give the Grizzlies the edge against Minnesota, but I'd much rather face the Clippers. We, in 4 games this year, we beat them by a combined 59 points, 4-0 against them. Even Paul George was a combined, I believe, 24 of 43 in the 2 games he played, and we still beat them by a total of 20 points in those 2 games. And the big reason why is just because we get the possession edge. The Grizzlies are the number one second chance opportunity offensive rebounding team in the league. The Clippers are the worst in the league at being able to stop that. And Ja would be able to take over much more against the Clippers than he would against the Timberwolves. So I would prefer a Clippers team without Kawhi. But at the end of the day, I think the Grizzlies are resourceful enough, especially with Dylan Brooks back, to beat Minnesota, even if they play them. Though it'll be a close game.
Yeah, Sean, I agree with you, but you got to remember the Grizzlies' killer, that is Norman Powell. He wasn't in those any 4 matchups on the Clippers.
He played in that final matchup, and he went off in that final matchup. Yeah. So
they played after the All-Star break.
Yes. Yeah, because we took a trip out there and played the Lakers and the Clippers. If I remember correctly, that's right. I still would give the Grizzlies the. I would feel much more confident to end the series in 5 or 6 against the Clippers and the Timberwolves. I think you see Memphis, Minnesota go 6 games, but I think Memphis gets the edge.
All right. Is any other final thoughts before we move on to the East?
I'm actually going to step down. Just wanted to come in, say hi, talk a little bit of basketball. Y'all, everyone besides Ant and S, I hope y'all have a wonderful evening. So,
hey, Sean.
Sean, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming up, man.
See y'all later.
See you guys. Or see you, Sean.
Grizzlies going to lose first round.
What'd you say?
Yes? Shut up, Rob.
All right, let's – oh, sorry. No? Okay, cool. All right, over to the East now. Atlanta-Charlotte is the 9-10 matchup. This is in Atlanta. Atlanta and Charlotte have split the season series 2-2. Obviously – this is interesting because Atlanta sort of was like way like kind of like down in the standings, and they've kind of pretty much Trae Young put the team on his back, have found a way to crawl back up to this point. And Charlotte has, like, in terms of like this year to last year, improved in like the record wise, but still are, you know, because of the improvement of the East, are in the same spot as they were last year at 10. But, you know, me, like, as a fan, I feel a lot better about this team, coming into this point than last year's team. Last year, Charlotte was kind of like stumbling, into this round. LaMelo coming back from the wrist injury, but he really wasn't like the same. Gordon Hayward was also out, but it was a much different team dynamic, because the depth wasn't there. And then we kind of just got obviously buzzsawed by Indiana. So I think this is definitely a different Charlotte team. Atlanta is quite different from last year as well. They don't really have their depth. They're banged up and just relying on Trae Young to carry them across the finish line. But I don't want to, you know, speak too much on this game. Obviously, since I'm a Hornets fan, I can give my prediction at the end, but I want to hear other people's thoughts. Matthew, I know you're a fan as well. You're more than welcome to jump in and kind of give your thoughts about it, or whoever wants to go. But yeah, I'll save my thoughts to the end. Go ahead, Matthew.
I mean, I was excited last year for the plans, and we got beat by 40 against the Pacers. So I'm not going to get my hopes up too much. But I do think they have a pretty good shot against Atlanta. There's a few teams with Charlotte in the East that you just want to completely avoid. I think like a healthy Cavs team would be one, or the Bucks, or the 76ers, or anybody who has, you know, got a really good five that I don't think Plumlee could handle. And I don't know if Clint Capella really scares me as much as some of the other guys do. I mean, it's obviously going to come all down to Trae Young, and maybe he just breaks down the defense enough, and since the interior – you know, defense isn't there for the Hornets, or defense in general, really. He goes out and gets them the win. But I think I feel pretty good about LaMelo and Miles getting into their stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how much LaMelo plays, as it always is, because sometimes Borrego is really, really reluctant to play him. But I also think Borrego is going to be thinking that if he loses this game and he doesn't play LaMelo enough, like, he might be done. He might get fired. So I think I favor the Hornets here a little bit. But you never know with them.
Yeah. I will say really quickly, like, I think I have to look at how many minutes LaMelo's played in the last 10 games or so. But, like, he also has, like, played extremely well in the, like, last bit of the season, like, March, April. So I feel like he's definitely earned the right to play as long as he, you know, or he's definitely earned a longer leash. You know, obviously that'll be dependent on like foul trouble and stuff like that. But like I would be baffled if like LaMelo wasn't out there for at least like 35, 36 minutes. You know, again, depending on like fouls and stuff and just like how the team is doing in general. Like if it's a blowout, then obviously he doesn't need to play all that time. But like if it's a close game, like I don't see why Borrego wouldn't give him a long leash based on his play as of late.
Now, I got a question. With Gordon Hayward out for Charlotte and Collins out for Atlanta, which will have the bigger impact?
That's tough to say. I think that Collins does a lot of interior stuff, and that would scare me if I'm the Hornets. With Gordon Hayward being out, it's a big deal. Gordon Hayward is really, really good when he plays, but they still have so much juice on offense with just LaMelo Miles and Terry Rozier, and that's plenty within itself. So I think that maybe Collins being out is more important.
Yeah. Matt, or whoever wants to answer, this might be a question for Max if you want to go just towards the end. But, like, if the Hornets get knocked out again in the play-in and they're kind of sitting in that middle part of the draft where, I mean, I'm sure they could still find somebody, like, useful as far as, like, what they want to, like, look for as a player. But, like, knowing they don't really have, like, a top-tier lottery pick and with Bridges – like a contract coming up, or like, how do you feel right now going into the offseason about this team?
I feel really good about them. I feel really, really good about the Hornets right now. They're trending in the right direction. They've been the 10 seed 3 years in a row, but like having a winning record and being the 10 seed is pretty bad luck. Miles should come back. I'd be very surprised if they didn't just offer him the max. Doing anything else would be pretty dumb. But I feel like the Hornets are, you know, a solid center away from being a really, really threatening team in the East. I think LaMelo has shown he's improved a lot this year, especially down the stretch. Miles, like, I feel like the LaMelo-Miles-Rozier combo is something I'm confident in. And Mitch Kupchak has done a great job drafting. So we could end up with maybe one mid-first-round draft pick, maybe a second if the Pelicans sneak into the playoffs. And I feel good about him using those. We have Kai Jones coming up who played in the G League all year, but I'm excited about him, and I think Book will get more time next year. So overall, I think I'm pretty excited about the Hornets regardless of
– I am so mad you didn't mention JT Thor, bro.
JT Thor too. Yeah, if he ever gets playing time, that's good for all the way.
Hey, he was killing in the G. My God. Sorry, go ahead. You good?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing. He's been killing it. I agree.
No, he was one of my guys coming into the draft. But I agree with y'all, man. I really think, look, both of these teams are offense first teams, defense second. Similar to Clippers Wolves, I really do think it's whichever team gets hot. And we've seen both of these teams like have the ability to just essentially play with any team if it's on the right night. We've seen the Hornets do it. We've seen the Hawks do it. It'll essentially just come down to shot making and who's hitting their shots throughout the night. I know both teams are surging coming in. And to your Collins versus Hayward question, it's actually funny. I had a lot of people just now when I tweeted about it saying, you know, the Hawks are better without Collins, which I think is pretty ridiculous to say. But they have had a pretty good record without Collins in the last month or so. I think they're 11-12 without him this year. So, like, I would still lean Hawks because they have the better player in Trae Young. If you had to like rank the players in order, obviously Trae is the best player on the court, but it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if the Hornets, like I've seen them do, just catch fire and Rozier is hitting, Bridges is hitting, you know, Melo is hitting as well. And like, it's not even a contest. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a toss-up. This one is probably the most toss-up playing game of the play-ins, in my opinion.
This is like a super boring concept, but like I think the benches, like the Hornets bench this year has been they've had great moments. They've also like have like not shown up at all. I like if you kind of look at the games that like Trae Young has had against the Hornets this year, like I mean, it's kind of like mixed bag, right? Like 19-4-9, 25-4-15, 34-4-9, 3-15, like kind of like up and down. Like he averaged about 21-10-3, like great good numbers, like not Trae Young numbers though, right? So like that's not my main concern, but like I just would like the Hornets bench to just like come out like hot. Like obviously you want the starters to play well too, but like when Kelly Oubre is on, like when he's making shots, when Trez is playing well, when, you know, even Isaiah Thomas, like, you know, given his, like, you know, like putting the ball in the basket and like given the effort that he gives, like that makes everything else run so much easier. I mean, and that's just basketball, right? Like when your bench plays well, like everything else, you know, should go right for you. So like, I think that's huge in this game, and it'll be big in you know, for whatever opponent we see next as well. But yeah, like if the bench is playing well, then I'm not really worried about anything. I'm also interested, from a Trae Young stopping perspective as well. Like how much, you know, does Borrego decide to kind of stagger like Cody Martin minutes, like mm-hmm. In terms of like, you know, being there to guard Trae Young a bit, like
McDaniels, like they might throw McDaniels on him. Like, I don't know, he's a good defender too.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a Trae necessarily, maybe like Hunter, DeAndre Hunter, but like Martin, I like our chances of Martin's, if Cody Martin's guarding Trae. For a lot of the game, but can I ask you a quick question? Yeah, sure.
On the Hornets front, because I recently, over the past like week or so, I've been watching a decent amount of Hawks games, and they've actually been in a lot of close games recently. And I see their crunch time offense, and obviously a lot of it has to do with Trae. You know, they have the drag pick and roll. I was talking to a friend today, and you know, he said instead of Collins, they have Gallinari, who's the guy playing the second screener in a drag pick and roll, and like that's pretty much their bread and butter. That's what they go to. How is the Hornets' clutch offense? Like, what's their process? Because I really do think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be decided by a few points, few possessions here and there. How do they react in clutch situations? Do you guys know?
Matthew, you want to take that one, man?
It's a little bit of a mixed bag, I think, because the Hornets' whole – I don't want to say their whole strategy, but the Hornets' big thing is, like, going real fast, right? And they'll go and they'll take whatever shot, and a lot of times they'll be moving maybe a little bit faster than they should. And then all of a sudden you get into clutch moments, and it's like, that's not what you want to do. I think a lot of the time, the guy that they would get, like, when it came down to half-court offense and they need a shot, they're going to go to Hayward or Rozier. And obviously you don't have Hayward now. So I think they're going to rely a little bit on Rozier to hit a big shot. I'm forgetting what game where they were involving Miles a little bit down the stretch when he was really going off, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it's been mixed. Like I feel like last year the team was a little bit better in the clutch. I'm like Rozier. That's kind of what he kind of got his contract off of, just like how great he was in the clutch. I feel like we saw less of those moments from him this year, but I think it was because like there were moments where like Miles was like really stepped up this year, like in clutch games. LaMelo had some really nice performances in the clutch. I'm thinking about like the Bucks game and like some other moments too. It's kind of been like a clutch by committee thing, whereas last year, like, you know, Terry Rozier was like really, you know, pulling us through in a lot of the games. So yeah, I mean, I think that'll be an interesting factor. I'm sort of hoping, you know, that, you know, it's not like one of those like come down to the last few seconds type of things. I can't handle another one of those games, but but that is, you know, a big part of Charlotte sports is, you know, having games come down to like the last few seconds. So you know, we'll see. I think, you know, I'm looking forward to the game itself. You know, I think the Hawks are just like, the Hawks have done great this year in terms of like, if you look at to where they started and to where they've gotten, like credit to that team, credit to Trae Young. He's a phenomenal player. I think if you weren't buying his stock last year, I think this year, you know, what he's done to bring this team to this point is incredible. I just really, really like in terms of like the roster, the depth, you know, health, and everything like that. I like where the Hornets are a little bit better than I do the Hawks. You know, especially if, like you said, they're going to be without Collins or whatever. Like, that's just kind of where I'm at. I'm not worried about the Hornets playing in Atlanta. Like, it's, you know, close. You know, they won 21. They were 21-20 this year on the road. So pretty much, you know, one game over 500. So they did well on the road. In the two games in Atlanta, I think one of those was a win. I'd have to go back and look, but yeah, like I'm not really concerned. I feel good. I'm with Matthew. I feel pretty good about the Hornets' chances to win this game. Anybody else have thoughts or questions before we move on to, I guess, the main event, which is Brooklyn and Cleveland? No. Okay. I have them. So, all right. And actually, Matthew, I'm curious to hear your thoughts as well, because John asked in the comments, like, where we see, like, the Hornets taking in the draft. I feel like it's probably another defensive wing or maybe a big, but I don't know. Like, how do you feel before we move on? So I know it's kind of like a random.
I think Kupchak's probably, even at, like, 15 or wherever we're picking, he's probably thinking best player available. I mean, that's how it was.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Last offseason, it was Graham and Monk and LaMelo and Rozier, and people were like, that's way too many guards. And he still went and took another guard, and I don't think that was the wrong call. So I think if you had your choice of which player fell to us, it would be like a nice defensive big. That's the Hornets' big need, right? Like a Mark Williams definitely makes a lot of sense, and that wouldn't be a bad call at all. But it depends a lot on, you know, what they think of Kai Jones and how he's developed, or maybe they – like somebody in free agency, they have a $10 million mid-level exception. I think there's a lot of guys that could use that on. So I would lean a defensive big, but it's hard to say.
Could it be possible for them to end up like moving their pick plus something to be able to, you know, acquire a big? Like, let's say there is a big out on
Miles Turner.
Miles Turner is definitely on that list, but he's almost getting to the point where I feel like if we were going to make a trade for him, we would have done it by now, you know, because we've needed this big for a minute, and the injury history with him is starting to really worry me. The other guys would be like Ayton somehow, and if he's available, but that's probably less likely. Or same thing with Gobert. It's like you could see the path to that player becoming available, but it's less likely. But yeah, I could see them doing that if those guys become available.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully, I mean, yeah, I like Poeltl too, Joe. I like Poeltl a lot. That's an underrated pick. But, yeah, let's move on to Nets, Cavs. So it looks like no Jared Allen, according to Shams reported. Jared Allen will not be in the game. That's big for Cleveland. I mean, like, in this situation – I think it'll be interesting. Like the Cavs, obviously, I think this is a fascinating game, and I don't necessarily think the Nets have this one in the bag. Like I could see the Nets losing this game.
I would have said that
to the Cavaliers, to be honest with you.
I would have said that had Allen played. I thought there would have been a really good chance. I remember there were a couple games in December and January where both teams played fully healthy, and they were really, really fun games that were like down to the wire. And I think they split those two. But without Allen, it just – there's not enough. And shout out to Mobley, because Mobley's going to end up being the main rim protector here. But I think at the end of the day, look, he's a rookie. He's gonna have his faults and what he does as well, regardless of how phenomenal he's been on defense this year. I think there is a route to them just being like, all right, cool, Kevin Durant, dribble and drive and kick it out to our plethora of shooters and – that's the game. I don't I think Garland has had a phenomenal season. You guys know, Max, you know how much I'm a Garland fan and a Cavs fan this year. But I just don't see a world where they can keep up unless, like, Kevin Love has a 6 threes, 20 points, 11 rebounds type game and just extinguishes any type of notion that I had that they wouldn't. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. I just don't think the Cavs have the guns, especially with Allen not there to protect the back line. So I'm gonna say it's Nets, and Nets pretty handedly. And I would also go as far as saying is whoever from Hornets Hawks ends up facing the Cavs, I would also still pick Hornets or Hawks. Maybe less Hornets, definitely Hawks over the Cavs. So
Yes, you're not a believer in LeVert at all?
I'm not a LeVert. I tried to do that. That failed. Oh, God. No, I'm not a LeVert believer much, to be honest with you. And I don't think – like, shout out to him and, you know, being, like, this herky-jerky type player that isn't really seen anymore. But also, he is a ball stopper. He believes in ISO basketball to a fault. And he doesn't move the ball. It's very frustrating to watch oftentimes. And I have smacked my head on a table a bunch of times watching the Cavs this year because of that. So, no, I don't think I am a LeVert believer. But at the same time, like, there is a chance he goes off for 20, and this is a much closer game than we imagine. I just think for Cleveland to end up winning this game, you need one of these type of surprise guys to show out and have a really, really fun game. Because the amount of responsibility that Garland has offensively for this Cavs team, especially with Allen out, is just massive. And I don't know if he can do that against the Nets team, especially in Brooklyn. So that's
well. Let's ask this. So who's more likely to have that game? You've got Markkanen, you got LeVert, or you got Love. Which one are you picking?
I'd say to have that breakout game, I'd probably say Kevin Love. Yeah, I think Kevin Love has a chance, especially because of the way the Nets end up playing defense. They like to pinch a lot on drives because they don't have, like, a nominal, you know, rim protector. So, the threes will be barraging them. I think Love is probably the best shot to kind of do that. I don't know, man. Like, when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the other side of the court, is the offense going to be able to keep up? Like, the Cavs offense, and I've seen it time and time again, they go through these droughts, especially when Garland's not on the court, that it's just like, I don't see them beating Brooklyn at all. And, like, to the point of, like, all right, cool, for the 8 seed, I'm not sure if they end up beating Atlanta. Or Charlotte, for that matter. It's really tough. If Allen can come back for that second playing game, I think they have a good shot at 8. But right now, unfortunately, I could see them probably falling out and being a lottery team this year, which is crazy, bro, which is crazy because, like, they were the 4th best team in the East for a very long time. Surprise, folks. If injuries didn't happen, they probably would be a playoff team, if not a top-tier playing team, which they are. So, I don't know. It's a tough pill to swallow, but I think, like, even if they do bounce out and they're not a playoff team this year, you can be like, this team is going to end up being just as good as they were last year. They just have to, you know, re-up on their guys and stay healthy.
So
no, I think it's an accomplishment for this team. Like, in a lot of ways, this team reminds me of the Hornets last year, where it was like, they got a good player. They made a lot of improvements. Some key players got hurt down the stretch, and they kind of just, like, you know, couldn't really finish, right, because of the inexperience and because of the injuries. Like, you still hang your hat on, like, you know, they can build off of this year. But, yeah, I don't think it's, like – I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't think, you know, it's a shame if they fall out of the tournament.
So if let's say the Cavs squeak in and Allen can come back for, you know, whether they're playing the Heat or Celtics potentially, if they get in however way, like, Do you give them like a puncher's chance to win six games?
No.
Or like not six games. I mean like push a series to six. I'm sorry.
No.
Actually, my question for y'all was going to be, do you think the Hawks can push the Heat to seven?
No.
No, not at all. Even if Trey is New York Knicks
trade. I just don't like they've just not been healthy at all, and I don't know what I don't know. It sucks because you have to be super bummed to see like where they were last. They were essentially like a game away from the finals last year, mm-hmm. and they've kind of just regressed so bad. And you know, Max had called out Trey for carrying this dead corpse to where they are. And, like, yeah, like, he should definitely get accolades for that. I just feel like Miami would suffocate them. If Miami's, like, right and not fighting themselves, like, they should be able to sweep the Hawks.
Yeah. The only team I trust is the Bucks. So if you're asking me about any other team, I have no clue what to say.
Fair enough.
What's up? Well, let me. Sorry, I'll piggybacking off of that. Oh, sorry. Did you want to say one more thing?
No.
I want to ask one more question. Yeah. Piggybacking off of that, let's talk about Brooklyn real quick. Like, assuming that Brooklyn wins this game, do you guys have any confidence in Brooklyn beating the Celtics?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's going to be a lopsided win either way for either team there. They're just very similar basketball teams, especially with Robert Williams out. Neither of those teams get to the rim quite often. They're not frequent rim getters, so it's really going to be up to pull-up shooting and jump shooting and three-point shooting. I think the Nets would be favored in that department just because they have Kevin Durant, the best player, arguably the best player in the world and the best player in that series. I think it would require a pretty phenomenal series from Jason Tatum for them to win in six or like five. But I do see the Celtics winning in seven and Durant, you know, helping the Nets, who have really just been atrocious on defense, to pushing them to seven. That would be, in my opinion, I feel like that would be a pretty good accomplishment, especially against the Celtics defense. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm leaning Celtics in seven, but if someone were to say something right now and, you know, convince me otherwise, I wouldn't be shocked. I could totally see Nets in seven as well.
Now I gotta get you guys' opinion on this. A certain someone in our friend group said that Jaylen Brown is the third best player in the Nets and Celtics series, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on that.
I disagree.
He'd probably have to be four, right behind Kyrie, I think. I was gonna say though, like, are you not like a believer of the Celtics defense? I know obviously Williams being out is like, it's just such a nut kick, but like, are you a believer that like in between all like the like defense the Celtics have been playing this year, like you don't think?
No,
that
I'm actually a really big believer. I made a video. I think the Celtics have been far and away the best defense in the league this year. It's like juggernaut type shit. I just think Robert Williams hurts them a lot, losing him as like a backline defender, because they do so much switching. They do so much like recovering, help and recover type stuff, that you kind of need a guy there for the rim protection aspect of it. And like losing Rob hurts a lot. Now they do end up having Horford. They have Daniel Tice. Grant Williams can be like a small ball five for them. So it's not like they're out of options. But Rob was arguably an all-defense type guy this year. I think I put him on my all-defense ballot. So that's where I'm at on this. But I think, like, if I had to pick a team – if I had to pick between two of these teams, I'm still going Celtics. I just think it's going to be close because you have Kevin Durant on the opposite side of the court. And you have Kyrie Irving on the opposite side of the court. And I honestly, yes, I hate to dig into the whole narrative bullshit of this, but at the same time, Kyrie against the Celtics, we've seen him be very motivated against that team. You know what I mean? So it's fair. Like I could see that being an aspect of it too. Like if we have this 2016 NBA Finals type Kyrie, like who knows what happens, right? So I don't know. I think there's a really good chance. This thing is going far, man. This is going to seven. If it goes to six, I'd be shocked.
I feel like I like at least like this version of the Celtics. Like I don't know if how much like you went into like Marcus Smart in your video, S. If you did, I'll definitely go back and obviously watch it. But like sure. I feel like out of like all the years Smart's been on this team, this is like a year kind of like this is casual guy who's maybe watched like 10 Celtics games. Like I'm not sitting there on my TV and like questioning like what is he doing with the basketball? Like, you know what I mean? He's not just like chunking up. I feel like this year especially he's like toned it down. I don't know if they finally like reeled him in, but like with the coaching staff where they're just like, bro, you've got to stop doing what you normally do. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. I think Smart has been a lot better this year, especially as a playmaker, the decision maker. Look, if Ben comes back, and by the way, I see a couple people talking about like, look, Ben Simmons might come back. I mean, yes, that would be a huge, huge factor in all of this. And it would be very, very weird to see how he'd be implemented throughout a playoff series. But at the end of the day, I still think I'm taking Celtics. Still think I'm taking Celtics in seven. Their defense is too good. The Nets defense isn't good. And they still have the shot making to keep up with the Nets offense. So,
Would you say that this Celtics team is better or worse than the Celtics team from last year?
They're better.
And remember that. And remember there's no Rob Will this time.
They're still better. Yeah.
And you never know, Marcus Smart can roll up on someone's ankle again like he did a few weeks ago. So
I just want you to keep in mind how things went last year. And
last year's Celtics team was dog water though. Like, yeah,
Jaylen Brown didn't even play in the playoffs.
And James Harden didn't play that series either.
And
yeah, James Harden's Kyrie, not playing this year either.
My point. And
They went from James Harden to Kyrie.
They had a couple games. They had a couple games that they won, and that they looked really good. But the Nets smoked them in that series.
Yeah, but the Nets went from James Harden to Kyrie. The Celtics went from Jaylen Brown to.
All right, Kyrie played the series last year. Kyrie didn't get hurt until the Bucks.
They had KD.
But that's my point, though.
They still have Kyrie, but if you take Jaylen Brown out of the Celtics, who do they have?
The Nets can still beat them, is my point.
I can, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's different, much different than it was last year.
I think the Nets will beat them.
I think the Celtics are just a way better team than they were last year, man.
They're a better defensive team.
For sure, yeah.
Like, nothing in this series would surprise me.
Like, what? So, what's their record since the All-Star break? What are they, like, 28 and, like, 6 or something?
You talking Boston?
Yeah.
Give me one.
Yeah, they got a crazy record after the All-Star break.
Guys, I got to head out, but Maxwell, it was fun. Appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, S, for coming up. I'm going to wrap this up soon also. So the Boston Celtics were –
Let it go.
CS, thanks. Yeah, the Celtics were 17-5 after the All-Star game.
Damn.
This year.
Are you at all concerned about the long layoff between games? Like, killing their momentum?
Are you asking me?
You and everybody else up here.
Yeah, like – Not really.
It's kind of weird, right? Because like I guess it's good, but then it's like shit, we gotta wait a week.
Yeah.
Like it's just like football. Like it could go either way. Like with that bye week, like you see some teams respond differently to the extra time off than others.
The Packers.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, I didn't mean to shift the focus to the NFL.
Nah, you're good.
No, it's okay. I hate my team. It's fine.
Nah, I think that's something to consider. I think it'll be interesting to see, honestly. I think the schedule, I mean, there's a lot of issues I have with the schedule. Like, I don't want to get into, but yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I do have to end it here. I got another meeting I have to jump into, but thanks everybody for popping in and listening to us talk about the play-in. I do want to say tomorrow, this is going to be at 11:30 Eastern. Tomorrow, myself, Greg Waddell from the Sleepers, and I believe some other people are going to do a playoff preview and actually like pick the game. So if you're listening on Spotify or on Green Room, tune into that tomorrow at 11:30. It should be a lot of fun. You can follow anybody up on stage here. We'll all be kind of talking and covering throughout the NBA playoffs. So myself, Matthew, I'm sure Brian will come up and do some math stuff as well. Like throughout the playoffs, follow all of us. We'll all be doing different rooms and stuff like that. But if you listen today, appreciate it. Thanks everybody for popping in tonight. Everybody for listening on Spotify Green Room and on Spotify. And yeah, this is NBA Play-In Preview Show. We enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun. Y'all take it easy. Have a good night.
Let's rock, we at the barbershop. Let's rock, we at the barbershop. Stay tuned.
All right, y'all, that's it for this episode of The Barbershop. Keep showing us love. We appreciate it. Go ahead and rate and review this podcast and also share on social media and tell your friends about us. And if you're feeling generous, there's a link in the description to become a monthly subscriber. You can do it for as little as 99 cents and you can support this podcast and help us to grow and to glow. We appreciate all the love. We'll see you next time here at The Barbershop.
Stay tuned.